But he does. Hallelujah. He does. I don't know where they are either. You know, I guess last sermon, Sunday sermon, I didn't know it was that bad. It smelt a little bit, but I didn't know it was that bad, but I guess it's worse than I thought. But I'm not going to apologize for it. But I will instruct you to turn to Genesis 37. Genesis chapter 37. And this begins a series of sermons on deliverance. Now, there is a norm, there is an association with that word deliverance, you know, in churches anyway, with that word deliverance, that we're being delivered from something the demons of hell are doing, and that's not far off. If you recall, I said last Sunday, all of us have a besetting sin. Now, you'll fight your life away. If I'm any example, you'll fight your life away trying to overcome your besetting sin. And by the way, you can be the victor. You never let it conquer, but you keep on fighting. Well, this will be a whole series of sermons on deliverance. Today's topic is delivered from the pit to the palace. From the pit to the palace. Now, there's a young man that will be featured all the way through until we are introduced to him here when he's 17 years old. And we'll follow him till he gets to be an old, toddling old man, about 82. Now, I don't know about that 82, but I know where toddling comes in, okay? So, his name is Joseph. Now, most people just know him as Joseph. I want you to know him in his full name. Do you know? I've told some of you what his last name is. His last name is Jacobson. Joseph Jacob's son. Now, about midnight, that'll soak in and you'll chuckle. Okay. And if after midnight you haven't, don't call me then. Wait till tomorrow and call me and I'll tell you. I'll explain it further to you. Okay. Now, in verse 37... verse 4 in chapter 37. Now, Here's a trivia for you. The book of Genesis, that's the beginnings. The book of Genesis, one third of that book focuses on this guy and his descendants, Joseph. Maybe we ought to call it the book of Josephs. Or maybe we ought to just leave it alone since somebody's already printed it as a book of Genesis. I'm really trying to get you guys to go along with me here a little bit, you know. It goes a whole lot better for me. I don't know about you, but it goes a heck of a lot better for me if you all just sort of go along with me here and stay with me. Let's get introduced to this 17-year-old boy. But when his brother saw their father loved him more than all of his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now Joseph had a dream. In the chapter 37, verse 5, Joseph had a dream. Verse 9, Joseph had a dream. And they began to call him the dreamer. Now he's 17 years old. And he's his mom's favorite son. He's his dad's favorite son, and his dad's got a house full of sons. 12, in fact. But he's the favorite one. Because he's born of Joseph, Jacob's favorite wife. And so they really kindly dote on him. Be careful, parents. When you start doting on, the other one sees it. Now, there's some circumstances where, you need to dote on one. There's sickness, there may be afflictions, those kind of things. And so you actually need to show particular and special attention to that one. But as you do, you make sure that the other ones know what you're doing and why you're doing it. Mom had a little booby droob. Her youngest son, Timothy, we knew he was always going to be the youngest son. There were not any coming after him. And his other brothers always referred to him around the corner from Mom and I as little booby droob. Now, that did not create real good relationships between Tim and the other three, especially since he was the youngest, the smallest, the weakest. It wasn't a good situation for Tim. Be careful. I'm not scolding Mom. I helped her. Okay. Now, here's a 17-year-old, favorite of his mom, favorite of his dad. In fact, his dad makes him, where he got it, I don't know, don't care. He makes him, Dolly Parton didn't have a quarter on coat of many colors, because he makes him a coat of many colors and puts it on him. And he, point one, let me get on down the line. Point one, from pride to the pit. Now, I just pointed out where he has dreams. And by the way, these dreams have messages in them. He dreams about conquering, ruling over, taking control of his other 11 brothers. So, they look up one day and they say, "Oh, here comes that dreamer. Here comes the dreamer." And they hate him. Now, that's not fair, is it? When your own kinfolk, they say down on the ranch, when your own kinfolk hate you, don't like you, despise you. He hasn't done anything to deserve that. Strutted a little bit. I think, actually, he's kind of prideful. Now, be careful of that. There's an instruction in the Word of God that said, pride comes before the fall. Well, so it is. Maybe they took that from Joseph's situation here. His dad sends him to check them out. And by the way, if you'll read that story, you'll find they are not where they're supposed to be with their dad's cattle. But they're way down south on the east side of the Jordan River at a place called Dothan. And he finds them there. He rushes right back home to tell his dad they aren't where they ought to be. So his dad says, "You go be my spy." When he gets back, I'm going to cut through some stuff now. When he gets back, he's laid hold of by them, and they're going to kill him. That's verse 18. They start plotting his death. And a good one turns out to be a pretty good brother. Says, no, let's don't do that. Let's put him in this pit. And who knows? Maybe somebody will come along and pull him out. By the way, you ever find yourself in a pit? I mean, down there where there's nobody with you. It's lonely. There's no hope. You can't get out of the mess that you're in. I've been there. Usually I made those messes, but then I couldn't get out of them. And They're just wanting to kill him. They've killed an animal. They put it on that pretty coat of his and take it back later on to take it back to his dad. And said, an animal killed him. And here my favorite son's dead, but he's in the pit. So we're going to have to go now from the pit to Potiphar's house. Potiphar is a man who's in charge of the bodyguard for Pharaoh, the greatest, most powerful man on planet Earth at that time, known anyway, is Pharaoh. And he has a bodyguard, and Potiphar is his head man of that. And I'm sure that, kind of like the CIA and the Secret Service and all of that, there's a bunch of them. And so this guy Potiphar's a pretty wealthy dude. Well, some guys come along up out of Asia Minor, come right down to the east side of the Jordan River, and they come on down past the Dead Sea. That's the trade route from Asia Minor past Jerusalem all the way to Egypt. And so they come along, and the brothers jerk him out of the pit and say, "Hey, we've got a slave for sale." Class, have you ever been sold out? Somebody sell you out? I mean, they just didn't do you right. And they sold you out. There's another way of saying it. Stabs you in the back. You ever had that happen to you? Well, they sell Joseph to these trademen. Now, these guys, they're just making the living trading. Wherever they can find something to buy, they buy it. Wherever they can find something to sell, they sell it. And they're on their way to Egypt to sell it. It's probably a large caravan. And they're making their way down. So now Joseph's out of the pit, and he's on his way to Potiphar's house. Because when they get to Egypt, they have an auction. And at that auction, Potiphar buys Joseph. Wonder why? You ever wonder why he bought Joseph? Let's see. Which verse is it here? Let me find it right quick. Verse 6 in chapter 39. Now you gals, listen up. Ladies, young ladies in particular. Here's a 17, 18-year-old dude. And he's handsome. I mean, he's handsome both in form. He's built right. I was so surprised. I didn't know you gals thought like that until my son, our oldest son, married Patty, and she and other son's girlfriend were watching the football game with the boys. And they began to talk about the form of the football players. And kids are not in here, so it was like this. Wow, look at the rear end on that guy. I didn't know you gals thought like that. He's handsome in form, and goes a little further with that. That's verse 3. What did I say that verse was? You're not even with me. It's all right. Verse 6. Okay. 39 and 6. Yeah. Now, Joseph was handsome in form and in appearance. I mean, he's one of those guys that had one of those Cruz faces or John Wayne type face. I can see that didn't turn you ladies on. The guys all looked up. So whatever that appealed to Potiphar, I don't know. But he buys him, takes him home with him. And I mean, before you can turn around, Joseph has found favor. And you know why? Because the Bible says, and God was with Joseph. Listen, whatever you're doing and wherever you're doing it, if you're doing it for the glory of the Lord, it's going to work. And if you're following God and doing what God wants you to do, it'll work. I'm telling you, it'll work. It'll come out right. I wonder if Joseph thought that when he's down in that pit. But now, can you see it? I didn't find anywhere. He don't have this coat of many colors. And I didn't find anywhere, so I saw anybody offered him a change of clothes. He might have an opportunity to wash them on that road, to wash them on that road to Egypt. But here he is. Whew. Wow. As he looks at the gates and looks at the doors and he looks at the construction of that palace that Potiphar lives in, looks at the size of it, you know, hey, this ain't bad. A lot better than a pit. Now, it just doesn't take any time at all. And now, Joseph has found favor with Potiphar. So much so that Potiphar, being a good old smart boy, he says, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to turn you over, make you in charge of everything I got. Here's the checkbook. Here's the credit. Here's the credit card with the, what's that new thing on the credit card now? Chip. You know, here's it all. And, boy, old Potiphar is, he's getting rich. He's getting richer, you know, and it just everything's going great. Isn't it good? Oh, yeah, listen, isn't it good? Isn't it really good when life starts going right? You know, hey, you're paying your bills on time. Nobody's accusing you of anything. You know, everything's just going right. Seems like what you do works out. And so here's old Joseph. I bet he's dressing in the best clothes in town. People are looking up to it. They're seeing how Potiphar is growing and, I mean, increasing and getting richer and how Potiphar is just kind of leaning on Joseph. And so it's going great. Now the enemy will make sure when things are going at their best, he'll throw a monkey wrench. And if you don't know what that term means, see me next week and I'll tell you. He'll throw a monkey wrench into what's going on. You see, all that was wrong was that there was a beautiful brunette in Potiphar's house called his wife. And every time Joseph went through the house and nobody was in there, she'd say, hey man, come on in here and visit my bedroom. Now listen. Illegitimate, illicit sex is wrong. And here's a guy that's smart enough to know it. He says, I am not going to do that to my master. Did you notice? He did not bring himself into it. And I will not do that to my God. Now I said it was wrong. And some of you should hear who said it. God did. Listen, you keep yourself, young people, keep yourself pure. Keep yourself holy. Keep yourself free of any guilt in that area. Every time. One day, when there wasn't anybody near there, she grabbed him by the coat and tried to pull him into her bedroom, and he just took off. No longer was he going to argue with her. He was doing what Jesus later said to flee all appearances of evil. Don't get you into yourself into a spot where you can't get out or where it's difficult to get out of. Stay away from those things. Now, the church had in Westside Baptist Church in Flint, Michigan, had Lena. I forgot Lena's last name. Mom would help me, but she didn't want to call it out like that. I'll think of it before I get through the story. Anyway, this little old lady, she just a little old swivel up lady. But she went up on the North Saginaw, where all the bars were, and on Friday and Saturday night, she'd visit the bars. And she was always saying, preacher, come go with me. And I did a few times, you know, and she'd go in the bar. And by the way, she was so effective that the bartenders would point out the guy that was crying in his beer, you know, the guy that was over here, at his face was way down there. We're going to see that here in a minute. And she'd just sit down with him and just love on him. Honey, what's wrong? You and your wife fighting. Honey, what's wrong? Are you and your husband fighting? Did your boyfriend kick you out? Yeah, and she'd have them just chatting with her and brightening right up. She'd say, preacher, go. You know, I would go with her sometimes, but I tell you what, I never did feel comfortable there. And I don't know whether the Holy Spirit was doing it, but anyway, flee all appearances of evil. And I just couldn't handle that environment. But she handled it so well. Now, when Joseph ran off and left his coat, she hatched up the biggest lie. Now listen, I know none of you have ever had anybody lie on you, right? Nobody ever told a lie about you. But you know, every once in a while somebody will do that. And here, she hatches up this story about Joseph, and when her husband comes home, Potiphar, she says, oh, looky here, he left his coat. When he thought the soldiers were coming, he ran away and left his coat, but he tried his best to take advantage of me. Man, this guy, Joseph, is getting everything in the world that's wrong thrown at him. That's not the story. The story is she was the guilty one. And you know what Potiphar does? So it's from Potiphar's house to the prison. He throws him in prison. That's really unfair, isn't it? Well, it'll happen someday. And when it does, you know, you just remember, they that wait on the Lord renew their strength. They mount up with wings like eagles. They run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. We just need to learn to wait on the Lord. And in due season, you will reap if you don't faint. Now, here he is in prison. This guy, Joseph, remember that, Joseph. This guy, Joseph, is a winner. He is a winner. He don't cry in his beer. He don't moan and groan. He's a winner. Wherever he goes, in Potiphar's house, he came out on top. Now he's in prison, and he's soon, just very soon, he finds favor with the chief guard of the prison. And in fact, what do they call that? I don't go to jail very often. When I do, I moan and groan till they don't give me any special jobs. Trustee? Is that what they call them in jail, a trustee? I see you don't go very often either. Okay. Go ahead. I see your halo shining. That's okay. He's a trustee. He's in custody of two guys. These two guys are there. One's a baker and the other's a candlestick. No. One's a baker and the other's a wine cup guy. And they both have a dream on the same night. Now, if you want to know what they dreamed about, go to the Bible and read it. But not while I'm trying to preach to you. That may be what you're trying to keep up with me in the Bible. But anyway, Joseph translates their dream. Remember that? Now, back here, what did they call him? The dreamer. Now, here he is in that dreamer. You see, he's still just a young guy. He's probably not old enough to vote yet. But they call him the dreamer, and here he is interpreting their dreams. Now, one guy, he says, in 3 days, you're going to get out of here, and you're going to be reinstored as the cupbearer for the king and for Pharaoh, and you're going to be doing fine. Oh, thank you. If I could ever do anything for you, I surely will. You've heard that, haven't you? That's almost as good as the one that says, oh yeah, we'll be praying for you. You don't even write their name down. Well, I do have a favor to ask of you. When you get back in the palace, I want you to remember me to the key. You just don't forget me. Now, Joseph was fully confident that his day was coming, that he'd have the opportunity, that God would bless, and he'd be in the palace of the king. So you just, when that occasion comes, remember me. You know what that dude did? He forgot him just like that. Until one day. Well, oh, the other guy lost his head. In 3 days, you're going to lose your head. And Pharaoh cut his head off. That's just to prove the accuracy of Joseph's interpreted dreams, okay? He's right on. Listen. What is it we see when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word? What a glory He sheds on our way. When we do His good will, He abides with us still. And all we got to do is trust and obey. Well, down there in the prison, here's old Joseph still doing his thing until the king has a dream. Some fat cows and some lean cows, you know. And he has a dream, and nobody can interpret the fat cow, lean cow, they all come out of the Nile River, dream. And then the cupbearer says, oh, wait a minute. There is a guy down in the prison that interpreted my dream rightly. I have written, and I want you to listen carefully, I have written in the fly leaf of my Bible, never take counsel from a man or from a person who does not take counsel from God. Let me say it again. Never take counsel from a person who does not take counsel from God. Well, here comes somebody to jerk Joseph out of prison and take him to Pharaoh. And he tells Pharaoh exactly what his dream's about. And he is so convinced in it, and perhaps, I don't know, perhaps the cupbearer's testimony that he translated his dream right to the T helped. Every once in a while, you'll have an opportunity to give testimony. Give it right, and when you need to give it so that it'll help. So that it'll help. Okay, now, let me conclude here. Joseph's in good again. He's not just in Potiphar's house. In fact, I like it. I just love this. Every day, Potiphar's got to look at Joseph. Hey, what do you think he's thinking? This dude is going to tell on me. He's going to tell Pharaoh I throwed him in prison. Well, I'll just say it now. We'll pick it up all the way through this studies. You'll find that Joseph is not a vengeful person. He does not take vengeance. Boy, I'd like to sometimes, wouldn't you? Wow, right now is my chance to get even with that dude. But listen, that doesn't work. That doesn't please God. That doesn't help God get us through the situation. I want to go this far. It is at any time at all, but Joseph is in great favor with Pharaoh, and just like at Potiphar's house, he's in charge of everything Pharaoh owns and has. So, in essence, he's in charge of all of Egypt. Whatever Egypt needs, Joseph is going to provide it. And they're going to be, and by the way, that's going to lead us into the other studies. This is the beginning of the guy named Joseph, a 17-year-old kid And we're going to find him interspersed all the way through with various and sundry characters and situations and circumstances. He's there. In fact, if we went that far, and we may, we would find him some 400 years later, maybe two, down the road. Dead, of course, but still in play. Now, let me summarize. No doubt about it, the hand, and I did not call that to our attention, but all the way through here in each of these circumstances, it says, and the hand of God was on Joseph. I have a very personal question to ask you this morning. Is God's hand on you? He wants it to be. God wants nothing greater but to take your life and lead you and direct you. By the way, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. The plan that God has for your life is good. Did you ever ask yourself, now what is God's, what does God want me? What is God's plan for my life? Now, it gets a little scary. I asked that question when I was almost 16 years old, and I got in a pit, one I didn't know how to get out of, but God was just waiting on me to say, okay, and he got me out of the pit. But God has a plan for your life, but you must allow him to put his hand on you, give direction to your life. You know, that path he wants you to follow, don't you think it's unique? Jesus said, take up your cross. What are you going to do with it? Follow me. Hey, you made an A. Take up your cross and follow me. So the first invitation Jesus gives you is, hey, come follow me. Come follow me. Now, being sure of this, in life's experiences, Jesus has faced them all. Amen? He knows where he's going. He knows where you're going. He knows how to get you there. He knows how to bring you out the other side, just like Pilate, Joseph, victorious. Now, the next thing he says is, hey, now I'm talking about Jesus now. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm going to talk over your head. I'm going to get so deep right here for a minute or two. You're going to wonder, oh my, where did he get all those smarts? We had an old gray mare on the farm I grew up on. Now that old gray mare wasn't too good an old mare. She was too old. She didn't pull too well. And she wore out before you could get started. But she had one outstanding characteristic. You could put an unbroke horse or mule with her and hook them to something, and she made that other one work. She broke the other one in. It wasn't long, even before the day's over, she had kicked, she had bit, she had pulled, she had jerked until that other one learned this walk. Now, Dan may be staying with me. He's down on the farm. Jesus said, hey, come on, fit right in here beside me. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. Now, though I want to tell you something, my experience, Bob, has been he kicked, he bit, he jerked, he pulled, still jerking, still pulling, still kicking, still biting, but we're getting the job done. And what a blessing. But Jesus said something else. I'm hoping that I hit right where you are with Jesus today. He said, follow me, walk beside me, work with me. Then he said, go ye. Go ye. You see, as you learn, as you grow, as you do, follow the Lord, working with the Lord, Then one day he says, hey, I got something for you. Go ye. Where are you with Jesus today? Are you following him? By the way, I forgot, you may be going the other way. Jesus going this way and you going that way. That don't work too good. That's where the pit's at, the other way. Where are you with him? Do you need to accept him into your life and your heart and say, Jesus, I have messed this thing up so bad, you probably don't want to fool with it, but I'm asking you to come into my heart, come into my life. Be my Lord, be my Savior. I want to follow you. Maybe you've done that. Oh, by the way, let me tell you where the first place is you go to when you follow Jesus. Your knees. Got it? First thing he wants you to do is pray. He wants you to read your Bible. He wants you to tell someone else, your tongue. Then he wants you to be followed in baptism. If you haven't followed him in baptism, you aren't completely satisfied Jesus, unless now you've got some specific and sure reason. And by the way, right here in this important point that I know you're hanging on with all you got, and let me announce, if I think I'm right, and I think I am right, the baptism will not be next Sunday, it'll be the week after on account of some candidate. Now, if it's not the week after, I will tell you tonight. Okay, when Brother Jimmy gets here. Now, think. Where am I with Jesus? Is life turning out like I wanted it to, like I wish it will and would and do? Okay, is it? Are you satisfied? I hate to keep referring to these songs we sing, but you know, those people that wrote those songs, I think they were sort of tuned in. I'm satisfied with Jesus. What's the rest of it? I'm satisfied with Jesus. Something about Calvary satisfies me. Jesus satisfies. Would you stand, please? In a moment.